Hello and welcome to Jeux du Jour, a ride on the football fairground. It's me, Chris Oakley, once again, giving you the lowdown and the hoedown on everything that's going on in French football at the moment. Show number two, this is, for the 2010-2011 season. And, let's just give you a bit of an introduction here in terms of what's coming up later on in this podcast. We're going to be talking about Ligue 1, as we always do. We've got some discussion about the French clubs that are involved in European competition, which kind of starts in a couple of weeks' time. And we've also got some transfer news to discuss, and also the latest with regards to the French national team in Euro 2012. Now then, before we go on, just want to explain, I think on the last podcast, a fortnight ago, I said that hopefully we'll get Terry DeFellin on, Terry being my chum from footballfairground.com and indeed from the Sound of Football podcast. But unfortunately he's not on this show. Hopefully he'll be on the next one, if not the one after that. And the reason he's not on the show is because if you're a listener to our Sound of Football podcast, go find it on iTunes if you don't know what that is, then you'll know that Terry and I have already discussed French football once this week, and I didn't want to put him through the pain of doing it all over again, quite frankly, because there's only so much one man can take if you're not really a regular follower of French football. So to avoid pretty much having exactly the same conversation all over again, it's just me this week. Hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, I may have a special guest on the show, and that could very well be Andrew Gibney. And if you don't know who Andrew Gibney is, he's the brains behind the Gibb Football Show podcast, and indeed the gibbfootballshow.co.uk, an excellent football blog. Go find it and go and read and indeed listen to all the fine stuff he's doing there. He's very much more of an expert on French football than me. And like I say, all being well, if I can get myself organised, we'll get Andrew on and we'll have a proper decent chat about French football. Meantime, it's just me, I'm afraid. So let's begin with Ligue 1. And in terms of news, what's going on at the moment? Well, in the last podcast, I said that the big three were all struggling. They were all in the bottom five or six places, the big three being namely Lyon, Bordeaux and Marseille. I'm pleased to report that since then, in the 2 weeks that have passed, Marseille have done the best job of getting themselves out of the mire. They are up to 10th place in the table. Bordeaux, they are now up to 14th in the table, and indeed Marseille and Bordeaux did play against each other last week in the most recent round of matches in Ligue 1. They drew 1-1, and luckily that's a point for each team that can be added onto a victory that they had the previous week. 2 weeks ago, Marseille, they had a win against, I'm just trying to look at my notes here, oh, yes, there we go. Marseille, they beat Lorient 2-0 a couple of weeks ago. Bordeaux had a 2-1 win at Paris Saint-Germain. So Bordeaux and Marseille are now climbing back up the table, as one would expect them to do. Lyon, however, are still struggling. In fact, they're still in the bottom four. Lyon lost 2-0 at Lorient. That was Lorient's first win of the season, and indeed their first win on their their first game on their new plastic pitch, no less. Kevin Gamero scored the first for Lorient, and he got 19 last season. He's a real star player for them. West Ham apparently put in a bid for Kevin Gamero, or at least that's what I read from one source. Anyway, sort of an £8 million bid. Sadly for West Ham, it didn't come off, and he remains at Lorient for the time being. Johan Gourcuff made his debut for Lyon, much of which we'll be talking about shortly in our transfer news section. Lyon lost 2-0 to Lorient, and indeed they did manage to get a 1-0 win over the newly promoted team Brest a fortnight ago, so they've got 3 points on the board, but Lyon are currently 17th in the table, so they're taking a bit of a while to get themselves together, but there we are. Elsewhere, the leaders of the league table remain Toulouse, and they've won 4 out of 4, which is pretty impressive. Only 6 clubs in the last 20 years have done that, i.e. winning all 4 of their first games. So good game for Toulouse. Admittedly, 2 of the 4 games they've played have been against promoted sides, namely Arles Avignon and Brest, who just mentioned a moment ago. But they did also beat Bordeaux, and they beat Nancy 2-0 last Saturday. So all in all, good start for Toulouse. I'm not sure that anybody's really under any misconception that maybe Toulouse will be there at the top of the table come the end of the season. They might be, but probably won't actually. But anyway, good start for them. And we look at the top of the table actually at the moment. I say after 4 games, Toulouse on 12 points, as I mentioned. Second place is Rennes on 8 points. Montpellier doing well. They're on 8 points. You remember Montpellier? They were the one of the talking points from last season. Newly promoted, they finished in a Europa League place, but sadly they're already out of Europe, as I reported in the last podcast on Jeu du Jour. But they've started well. They're on 8 points in third. Sochaux are in 7 points. Now, Sochaux, in beginning my self-education, shall we say, on following French football last season, I soon discovered that Sochaux are pretty much the highest underachievers probably of any team, in the sense that they're about as average as it gets. They're just so inconsistent. I'd never seem to be able to kind of string along more than one or two wins, but they've started pretty well, really. They've had two wins and a draw, so they're up there in fourth. Bit of a surprise, really, but there it is. Another surprise in fifth place is Saint-Étienne. Now, Saint-Étienne, as I've also reported regularly on previous podcasts and indeed blog posts over at Some People on the Pitch in previous times, they're always, Saint-Étienne, one place above the relegation spot at any given point in the season. But they've started fresh this season. They're up to fifth. Two home wins they've had so far and a draw in their four games. So great going for them. So they're on 7 points. And in sixth place is Caen, who are one of the three promoted teams. Good start for them. They have already beaten Marseille 2-1 and Lyon 3-2, as I think I mentioned in the previous podcast. So, they're hanging in there. It's good stuff. Usually one promoted team kind of does well anyway. So it could be Caen this season. At the other end of the table, it's, let me see, we've got a bit of a surprise, or not a surprise as such, at the very bottom, and that's Arles Avignon. They're a real, dare I say, they're a bit of a basket case, is Arles Avignon. They've got some strange history going on there, strange things going on at the club. I'll perhaps tell you about those next week if I get time, but yes, they're a funny old club, and they're up in the top flight, I think, for the first time in a long, long while, maybe even ever. I can't actually remember off the top of my head, but they're very much the newcomers, struggling sadly, no points from their first four games. One place above them in 19th is Auxerre. Now, Auxerre are actually in the Champions League this year, and they've really not started too well. They finished third last season, but they've only had three draws and a defeat in their first four games. So, Auxerre struggling in the league, but they've managed to get into the Champions League group stage, say more of which shortly. And then above them, 18th place, Nancy. Lyon, we mentioned before, 17th. Lens in 16th, and Brest, newly promoted Brest, are 14th, so that's kind of a general summary of what's going on in the league at the moment. I mentioned European competition and such like. Since we last spoke, we've had the Champions League playoff second leg, if not the I think we've only had the second leg. I think we had the first leg in time for the previous podcast. And as I say, Auxerre are through to the group stage. They managed to get the vital win they needed in the second leg of their game against Zenit St. Petersburg. 2-1 it's finished on aggregate. Zenit won 1-0 at home, but Auxerre won 2-0 at home. So they're through, and that means Auxerre are, for all their efforts, their reward is that they're in Group G, widely acknowledged as being the group of death, alongside Real Madrid, Milan and Ajax. Yes, so I would be surprised if Auxerre can get through to the next round from that. They may stand a chance of getting ahead of Ajax in the group and perhaps qualifying for a Europa League run, but it's going to be tough, that's for sure. As far as other teams, French teams are concerned in Europe, so we had the Champions League group stage draw not that long ago, and Lyon, they're in Group B with Schalke, Hapoel Tel Aviv and Benfica. So I would say, as I mentioned on the Sound of Football podcast the other day, quite an evenly matched set of opposition for Lyon. It should give them a challenge. Let's not forget that Lyon were in the final four last year, got through to the semi-finals last year, although it was a bit of a miracle they got that far, but nonetheless, good run. And if they're on form, then they should actually be able to beat any of those sides. But the thing is, Lyon, as we know, just mentioned a moment ago, they've had a slow start to the season, can be inconsistent, as indeed they were last season. So not quite sure. I wouldn't like to put any money on where they'll finish, but at least second in the group, maybe even first. But Benfica are a pretty useful side, as indeed are Schalke. So Who knows? Elsewhere in Group F, Marseille have got a somewhat easier group than last season. And last season they were in a group with Real Madrid and Milan as well, like Auxerre this season. This season, Marseille are up against Chelsea, Spartak Moscow and Žilina of Slovakia. So definitely Chelsea the big team in that group. Spartak Moscow, I don't think, are doing too well at the moment in the Russian Premier League. So there's some hope there. Žilina, well, don't know too much about Slovakian football, but apparently they're on a good run. I've done a bit of research, believe it or not. As a first, I hear you cry. And Žilina, well, they've only lost one game in the last 23, going right back to March. So, as far as Slovakian football is concerned, not a bad side. In the Europa League, Lille had some unfinished business at the time of the last podcast. They were playing Vaslui of Hungary. The first leg finished 0-0, but Lille got the win they needed, 2-0 in the second leg. So Lille are through to the Champions League. To the Europa League group stage. You may remember Lille lost out to Liverpool in the last 16 last season. So, could be a repeat performance. Who knows? The first of the two goals that were scored for Lille there was by Johan Caballé, the midfielder. He has been a bit of a target for Bordeaux, but I don't think they actually managed to snap him up in the end. Like I say, we'll discuss the whole transfer thing shortly. But anyway, Lille winning 2-0 an aggregate there. PSG, they were playing Maccabi Tel Aviv, and they won 5-4 an aggregate to PSG. The first leg finished 2-0 to the Paris side. But the second leg was an altogether much more exciting affair. Maccabi scoring 4 goals in the second half of that match. But PSG managed to get the 3 they needed just to keep their noses in front. And they've scraped through by all accounts. But a terrific game there. And that means PSG are through to the group stage as well. Who are they playing? Well, PSG are in Group J along with Borussia Dortmund, Karpaty Lviv of the Ukraine and Seville. Or indeed Sevilla. So tough group for PSG. They qualified actually for the Europa League because they won the Coupe de France, the French Cup, if you like, last season. So there we go. Tricky group that for PSG. Lille, by the way, they're in Group C. They're playing the Belgian side Ghent, the Bulgarians Levski Sofia, and also Sporting Lisbon. So actually, that's a group that Lille could even win, let alone qualify from. So not too bad a group. That Sporting Lisbon could be a bit tricky, of course. So, there we go. Now then, transfer news I mentioned. Let's start off. I'm going to start off with Bordeaux because they're really very much in free fall after their really bad finish last season. They finished down in sixth, didn't get into Europe. The result of that is that, of course, they can't bank on quite as much income arriving at the club as perhaps they have in the most recent few seasons. And that has materialised in the departure of several players, namely, and most particularly, Johan Gourcuff, mentioned a little bit earlier on. Gourcuff has been a target for Lyon for quite a while, but Bordeaux have resisted their advances for some time. But because of the lack of money coming into the club, not being in Europe, they were left with no option really but to sell him. And he has gone from Bordeaux to Lyon for about 22 million euros, possibly rising to about 26.5, depending on certain criteria being met. It's another one of those kind of deals where there are sort of various instalments that have to be paid at certain times for certain things. But yes, Gourcuff, he's the French Player of the Year in 2009. And as I said earlier on, he's already made his debut for Lyon earlier on. So a big, big deal. That's without doubt pretty much the biggest signing in French football for quite a while. A real eyebrow raiser, as it were. Elsewhere for Bordeaux, although we already know that they've lost Marouane Chamakh. He went to Arsenal during the summer on a free transfer, so he's gone. And they've also lost Fernando Cavanaghi, an Argentinian striker on their books. He's gone off to Mallorca on a one-season loan. So Bordeaux looking quite depleted these days. Marseille, they were busy at the end of the transfer window there. We know about Hatem Ben Arfa being a potential target for Newcastle, as well as several other teams, including Werder Bremen and Liverpool. Finally, he did go to Newcastle on loan. He was desperate to get away, by all accounts. So the winger has gone to Newcastle for a season long loan, and I think there's a clause in there that he may be bought on a permanent basis by the Tyneside club at the end of that period. So Ben Arthur finally leaves Marseille, going to Marseille, André-Pierre Gignac. Now, he's a French striker of some repute. He's been at Toulouse for a while now, and he's gone to Marseille for somewhere in the region of 16 to 18 million euros. Great signing. Has been suffering with injuries recently, but once he's clear of those, he should make quite a considerable difference to the Marseille side. Always a real sort of key player for Toulouse in recent seasons. Another player going to Marseille is Loïc Rémy. His name's been on the back pages, and indeed the sports pages of the British press for a while. He was tempting all kinds of different sides of late. Rumours that he might be going to Arsenal, Milan, Fiorentina, Lyon, Bordeaux, West Ham, Liverpool, Stoke, you name it. Many clubs apparently looking for his talent. In the end, he's moved from Nice to Marseille for somewhere in the region of about 15 million. So the deal with that is, you may have read actually, that he had a medical at Marseille and it was found that he had some kind of anomaly, a heart condition there, and everyone was thinking maybe that was going to be the end of his career, let alone moving to another club. But they did a second medical that proved much better, much more to Marseille's liking, and he signed on the dotted line. So he's now gone to Marseille. So quite a lineup of players that Marseille have got now, and fair enough, you would have to say, given the fact that one of their key players, Mamadou Niang, has now gone off to Fenerbahce. So they've lost his talents, but gained some new ones. So Marseille looking pretty good. Lyon haven't been that active in the transfer market, apart from Johan Gourcuff, as we mentioned earlier on. They bought Jimmy Briand, said about him on the previous podcast. So a couple of big signings. They've also managed to grab Pape Diakate, a Senegalese defender who was at Dynamo Kiev. They've got him for a season-long loan. But apart from that, not much to talk about in terms of Lyon's signings. One could argue they're big signings anyway, so there we are. Right, that's the transfer news dealt with. We move on quickly to a quick check of the Ligue 2 situation, and we always like to see what's going on there, so we get hopefully a foresight of who may be getting promoted up to the top flight come the end of the season. And much like a fortnight ago, I can report that Evian are still top of the table there. Four wins and a defeat in their five games. Pretty impressive. They were the champions of the Championnat National, which is basically the third division, third tier in France. So they've only just come up as champions, and, well, they're looking like they want to become champions of Ligue 2 too. They've started well. A little bit of info, actually, about Evian in that they're located just to the west of the Swiss border. And in recent times, they've been hoping to move to a better and indeed bigger ground in Switzerland. They're only like a 45-minute drive away from Geneva, apparently. The proposition of moving to Switzerland was approved by the French Football Federation, but blocked by UEFA. So I don't think they're going to be moving anytime soon. But yes, that could have been an anomaly in itself, really, a French team playing in Switzerland, but it looks like that's not going to happen just yet in any case. So Evian top of Ligue 2 at the moment, and level on 12 points, is Tours in second, and in third place Boulogne, who some of you may know were relegated from the top flight last year after a brief spell in the spotlight. They're in third at the moment on 9, so who knows, they could be coming straight back up again. At the bottom of the Ligue 2 table, we have Grenoble. Now, seeing them at the bottom of the table is something that's quite familiar to those people that follow French football, because they were rooted to the bottom of the Ligue 1 table last season, pretty much right from start to finish. And indeed, since dropping down to the second tier, they've kind of carried on where they've left off. Only one win and, in fact, four defeats from their five games, so they're at the bottom. They could be dropping for a second successive season if they're not careful. They just have 3 points, and just above them, Reims in 19th. And Metz, who were in Ligue 1 only about, what, two, 3 seasons ago, they're struggling down in 18th spot at the moment. Finally, before we go, there were matches being played, the first round of matches being played in the Euro 2012 qualifiers. France, as you may have seen, were at home to Belarus. Only five survivors in the team from the World Cup. Wholesale changes due to suspensions and injuries and heaven knows what else. The result was a 1-0 defeat at home for France against Belarus. Sergei Kislyak scored the winning goal just 4 minutes from time. And, well, much work to be done for Laurent Blanc, former Bordeaux coach. He's having to deal with, as we mentioned before, kind of changes in the team roster, but also this kind of psychological baggage that's been carried on from the World Cup and the mindsets of the players not perhaps being very stable at the moment. But France certainly had most of the play in terms of goal attempts. They had 8 goal attempts to only 1 for Belarus, but never really kind of dominated strongly in the game. Belarus themselves were no kind of great shakes themselves, but as has been reported in one or two places, the Belarus keeper didn't really have a lot to do during the course of the match. France had their chances to get the ball in the net, but failed. Several new faces appearing in the game, as I've just sort of alluded to. Loic Remy, a new signing for Marseille, who I think was injured during the course of that game, but also Jeremy Menez, who's a midfielder who's been with Roma for a while. He's got his second cap. And indeed, Yann Mvilla, a defensive midfielder with Rennes, he got his second appearance as well. So a chance to bed in some new players, but it's going to take a while. And a bit of a worrying start for France. They've now lost 4 games on the trot, and their next game in the group on Tuesday night, in a couple of nights' time, is away to Bosnia-Herzegovina, who beat Luxembourg 3-0 on Friday. Other teams in the group are Albania and Romania. They drew 1-1 against each other. So you look at the kind of list of teams in that group and you think, well, France, under normal circumstances, should be able to breeze through there. But frankly, no guarantee on this kind of form. You never know what's going to happen. But yes, they need to start getting some points on the board. And that's an understatement, of course. Right, that's it. 22 minutes have elapsed. I suspect that's more than enough. Hope I haven't bored you too much, but on the other hand, hope you've enjoyed the podcast and that you'll stick around and join us again in a couple of weeks' time. For more information, you can visit www.footballfairground.com. If you want to drop me a line, if there's anything you want to discuss, then please do so to carnies@footballfairground.com. That's carnies, C-A-R-N-I-E-S, @footballfairground.com. And I'll do my best to communicate with you in whichever way I see fit, whether it's by doing so on this podcast or via email or whatever. That's it, though. Thank you very much indeed for listening. For more podcast action, download Sound of Football from iTunes or indeed from Football Fairground. But apart from that, for now, from me, it's goodbye and thanks for listening.